This is the Recency Bias. It's your morning after mini-pod, of course. I'm your host of the morning after mini-pod, Zach Vanoss. Also the managing editor at rabbithabs.com. Make sure to check on rabbithabs.com this week for the forum. We had a really good forum going. Kind of a very open and hard to pin down question. Basically, we were asking, are the Habs actually good? And, you know, depending on your interpretation of what actually good means, every contributor kind of had a different outlook on whether or not the Habs are actually good. A good conversation, I think, going on between myself and Ian, Kyle, Sean, the whole gang, everybody weighing in, Damon jumping in there as well. So, are the Habs actually good? Find that on rabbithabs.com. That's the newest one from the forum. For the second night in a row, your Montreal Canadiens were in action back at the Bell Centre for this one, all over the place. The schedule has them right now, and they could have easily lost this game based on the scenario coming in against the Panthers. Montreal just played an overtime game, it didn't go that deep in overtime, but it was an overtime game in Boston the night before. Obviously a game that the Habs used up a lot of what was in the tank. Could have been a tough one. Was a tough one in a way. But not on the score sheet, as they returned to Montreal to face the waiting Florida Panthers. No one would have been shocked if they lost it, but instead they win 5-1. You look as far as the score goes, it looks like the Habs clobbered the Panthers, which they sort of did in a way in a game in which Antti Niemi was in nets. Another reason perhaps that schedule loss wouldn't have been shocking here, but instead it looked like they had Carey Price back there all night. Antti Niemi was incredible in this one. He had the most saves of his career, 52 save performance, 981 save percentage on the night for him. The scoring chances in this game were much closer, though, than the shots would have you believe. I mean, the Canadians were egregiously outshot in this one. Shots, as I say, 53 for Florida, 21 of those coming in the third period. To 28 by the Canadians, but the actual scoring chances were a lot closer. The Canadians, or rather the Panthers, getting a lot of kind of that garbage shots, you know, just throwing a lot at Niemi from a distance. Five goal scorers for the five goals. Shea Weber getting one, his seventh of the season. He sure does score a lot, Shea Weber, doesn't he? Phil Deneau, he gets his eighth. I feel like I'd like him to be, you know, perhaps at 10, trending more for a 20-goal season than the 15-16 he's trending towards right now. But maybe he heats up in the second half. He's got 8 now. He's really struggling, nearly going to get one. So 8's pretty decent from Deneau at this point in the season. Domi, he breaks the dry spell, his 15th of the season. That puts him 3 shy of the career high, which he got in his rookie season when he scored 18. Kotkaniemi, the rookie, the 18-year-old, he gets his 6th of the year. Brendan Gallagher adds number 19. Yeah, it was a big win for the Canadians, but it started out with them trailing as Niemi got Forsberged by Hoffman in the first. You might want to look this one up if you didn't see it. Hoffman, just incredible move, and it's the only goal they'd score. You had to be really good. You had to be Forsberg level to get one past Niemi on this one. But the Canadians did trail after one, 1-0. But early in the second, very early, the first minute of the second, it lives. Shea Weber and the power play finally get one. Florida, my friends, you can't leave Shea Weber with all that time and all that space. He's either going to score on you or he's going to hurt somebody. Those are the two options in that scenario. Luckily for everybody, probably even the Panthers, he scored in this one. We're even at 1-1. Byron in a little bit of a controversial moment in this one as he left his feet for a hit on Uyghur. I imagine the NHL is going to have a look at that. Wouldn't be surprised. He only got 2 minutes on the play at the time. Could have got a 5 for sure. And it wouldn't shock me if Paul Byron has to miss a game or two for that. He did leave his feet. You don't want to see that. Paul Byron's a clean player. Most of the time. I mean, I don't think I can recall right now any time that I thought Paul Byron pulled something a little dirty, but this was, it was a bad hit. And he should probably sit a game or two for that one. With 7:37 remaining in the period, the Habs thought they had their third of the game. Ty Domi. That's going to happen a lot. I wonder when that's going to stop happening. Max Domi, he thought he'd broken the... He'd broken the drought at that point, and then it looked like it was Lekkonen who'd actually scored, and then no one gets it. So what happened if you didn't see it? Reimer's got the thing covered, got the puck covered, absolutely with his glove. There's no doubt about it. And the Canadian, there's no whistle, and the Canadians just kind of push it out of his glove, and then it's hanging around in the blue paint. Lekkonen gets a stick on it, but it looks like Reimer makes the save with his glove, and then Domi puts it away. So they go upstairs to try and work out all this confusion, and in the replay what you see is very obvious that, you know, a whistle should have gone at some point in there. Absolutely right for being upset on the count of, on the part of the Florida Panthers. But then Lekkonen definitely scores. Puck completely crosses the line in Reimer's glove. And then, obviously, there was no doubt about whether or not Domi should have scored, but it wouldn't have been his. It would have been Lekkonen's. So they go upstairs, and they sort of both got the call right and wrong, if that's possible. And the refs were having a rough time of it all night anyway. Always. They just weren't calling a very consistent game. It was poorly ref, but... Basically, look, a whistle should have gone, and it seems like they went upstairs and they realized exactly what I just said, and decided, yeah, let's give ourselves a mulligan on this thing. There's no way the Habs really should have had a goal there. They scored two, so we're just gonna skate away from this. I mean, they didn't even, you know, usually they present some sort of explanation at center ice, but no, not in this one. They just said, nah. Calling the ice overturned, as you were. And we got to see angry Claude Julien, very angry Claude Julien. He was upset. Angry Claude's more fun when he's on your side than when he's behind the Boston bench, I gotta say. But, oh well, all's well that ends well, because Max, he goes out and he breaks the streak for himself, officially. Gives the... good goal is his celebration. He gives the point towards the net just as the ref does. Oh, Max. He's a fiery one. Maybe a little too fiery at times. I mean, he did get kneed in the head at one point in this game. In one of the, three occasions in which Max Domi went off. He might be a psycho, but he's our psycho, right? That's how we feel about Max right now. Hadn't scored since December 9th before putting that one in. Canadians up 3-1 at that point, and Kotkaniemi. Oh, the kid's got sweet hands. Seals the deal. Gorgeous. Say again, gorgeous toe drag goal. Once again, if you didn't see it, go find this one. A thing of beauty. He held onto it forever. Infinite patience by the young Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Nicest goal of his career, as I tweeted from at the Montreal Bias. Follow that. Follow that account. And follow at Rabbit Habs. And follow at Zach Drops Tweets. Panthers pulled the goalie with 4 minutes to go. So that helped add to the final saves total on the count of Antti Niemi, since he faced 3.5 minutes in the end of 6-on-5 hockey. Gallagher had the empty netter. Gallagher deserves an easy one every once in a while, doesn't he? He works so hard for him. He absolutely deserves an easy one. Canadians win 5-1. Nice win. Really, as I say, everything indicated they should have lost this one by the normal schedule loss expectations. Coming back, second half of a back-to-back, opposition's waiting for you, backup goalie in nets. Just played your biggest rival the night before and had an emotional win. easily could have lost this one. I mean, they did give up 53 shots, but hey, Anthony Niemi, he was big time. So good for the Canadians in the standings. Don't lose any ground, that's for sure. But don't gain any ground or make any distance between themselves and the teams chasing them, because the only one in action on Tuesday night alongside the Canadians was the New York Islanders. They went to overtime against the St. Louis Blues, and they won 2-1. Oh, New York Rangers, they beat Carolina 6-2. I mean, Carolina's still, you know, everybody's saying Carolina's still in the race, even though, as I pretty much say every time I talk about them, I have my doubts that they are. New York Rangers didn't do them any favors. They beat them 6-2. So they lose ground in their attempt to chase down that final wild card spot. Columbus beats New Jersey 4-1. Detroit beats Anaheim 3-1. That's 12 losses in a row for the Ducks. They're in trouble. Nashville has your touchdown on the night. They scored 7 against Washington. Minnesota edges LA in a shootout 3-2. Winnipeg downs Vegas 4-1. Tampa Bay over Dallas 2-0. And San Jose beats Pittsburgh 5-2. So, as far as the standings go, Canadians now with 57 points through 48 games. That puts them even with Boston as far as points go. However, the Bruins have played 2 less games. It puts them 1 point behind the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, the Leafs do have 3 games in hand, but still, it's something. It's fun. It's got them looking over their shoulder at the very least. So the least we can do is pester, as the Maple Leafs are supposed to be a good team. As I say, we ask if the Canadians are actually a good team on the forum on rabbithabs.com this week. Check that out. That's up there now. Canadians return to action on Thursday. We'll be following that up with another episode of your morning after mini pod. Not Thursday. Check that. Producer, fix that. Right. I don't have a producer. Friday in Columbus, taking on the Blue Jackets. 7 o'clock start to that one Friday night. And then Gritty and the Philadelphia Flyers. The apparently fire sale Philadelphia Flyers in Montreal at the Bell Center on Saturday. And then next Wednesday, the only other game in January, Arizona Coyotes at the Bell Center. Alex Galchenyuk in town. That's the schedule ahead. Until then, take care.